Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship together and worship you. Please speak through your servant, Pastor Joseph. Soften our hearts to hear what he has to say. Help us to be edified and blessed by today's service and today's sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So how are you today? Well, I'm glad I'm back. I went to Taiwan for just about 1 week. Well, it's very challenging. When I went there, I tried to have jet lag, tried to adapt, still stick to the U.S. time zone. And when I came back, I still stick to the Taipei's time zone. So, where's my home? That's the questions, right? We all need to come home. Well, today I'd like to share with you being an orphan or a son. It's a very relevant issue to all the believers, very, very relevant issue to everybody. In the last 5 or 7 years, I have ministered to many young adults, from overseas. And I realized they all came here as a teenagers. You know, they live by themselves. Usually their mother or father's here for a short period of time, and they all have to take care of themselves. In certain way, they really live like an orphan, you know. There's no parents, no parental supervision. And, I kind of, in a way, become their daddy. I think we start with the 4 young adults, I remember, and then they all share their life with me about, you know, when they came. They live in the different parts of the United States. And I don't know, have you realized on that or not? And this trend become more and more popular right now. There are so many from overseas. They are young, the students, foreign students, being younger and younger. So it really let me think about an issue about parenting, about to be an orphan or a son. You know, in the journey of knowing God and following Jesus, now we try to have a discipleship program right now. We learn to be the follower of Jesus Christ. There are 2 patterns of life ahead of us in this journey. And that we need to choose that which one we want to move on. As you follow Jesus, there are 2 patterns of life. I want to share with you my first point, to live by the flesh or by the spirit. You know, in the Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17, let's read together. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Okay, I just want to point out there are 3 words that are used interchangeably in the New Testament. It's the sinful nature, the flesh, the old self. It's all talk about the same thing. It's refer to our old life. I want to ask you, how are you today? Are you really okay? You all look so serious and tired. I thought Irene led us to worship the Lord just now. Are you okay? I think Cindy is the only one that lies brighten. And did you? No, it's more than that. They all under the lights. Did you sleep well last night? Or you struggle, you're a son or orphan? Welcome, Richard, you know, welcome. And okay, I just mentioned about that 3 words, about old self, flesh, and sinful nature. It's all referred to our old life. Addressing to Christian Galatia, Paul exhorted them that their life should not gratify the desire of the flesh. Their life should not gratify the old self. Perhaps you ask, what are the desire of the flesh? What are the desire of the old self? Then he gave us a list. Let's read together verse 19 to 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Apostle Paul gives a list. When we read the list, it's not that encouraging, all the bad things. But I want to point out is, among that list, there's something there. Few of them are the manifestation of an orphan. They are hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, faction, and envy. Yes, if they are our life, if this are our life reality, then we still live by the flesh, still we're being an orphan. I'm going to explain that later about this, but this is the traits. When you struggle with this, that shows you still live in the orphan spirituality. You still, even though you have the status as a son of God, but you still live in the spirituality as an orphan. And also, there's another pattern of life, so live by the Spirit, being a son spiritually. Contrasting with living by the flesh is to live by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 to 26, we can read together. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step of the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envy each other. Amen. Once we crucify the fleshly desire, passion and desires, we are no more conceited, provoking, and envying each other. It seems like we know we shouldn't do that, but somehow those things still come up. Is that right? We envy each other. We fight. We're jealous. Because we still have that reality as an orphan in us. And that's what I want to share with you. Now let's identify what are the traits of an orphan. Can you tell me, before you see my outline, what do you think, what are some traits to being an orphan? You think about an orphan, what are some traits? Yes, Richard. You don't have a sense of belonging. Richard's ready for to be child of God. So wonderful. Okay, let's identify the traits of an orphan. I refer to the spiritual orphan, okay? Orphan being orphan spiritually. Even though you're a believer, you still can be that. Okay, the first trait of an orphan is uncertain about one's own worth. A major trait of being an orphan is so uncertain about one's worth and value. You know, self-worth, self-value, how do you see yourself is a very tricky thing. You see, a lot of people, they have talents, intelligence, money, position, many things, social status, yet they still have very low view about themselves. What do you think? What's the problem with that person? So in other words, a person, even though he might own a lot of things, he still can have very low view of himself. Because a self-worth issue is rooted in the identity. If you don't know who you are, it's very hard. You can value yourself. May I ask you, why is hard for an orphan, a spiritually being orphan, it's very hard for a spiritual orphan to have a good self-esteem or a good self-worth. Why? Yes. I think even deeper issue is, if I see myself spiritually as an orphan, or I feel I'm as an orphan, even though I have parents, you know what I mean? Even physically, I have parents, father and mother, but I feel I'm still like an orphan because I never receive love, or I cannot receive love, then I don't feel unworthy. Because if I would rationalize like this, if I'm worthy, why I don't have parental love? You understand? This is a very tricky thing. It's a very hard thing. You know here you're a child of God, but here you live like an orphan, spiritual orphan. You struggle about your value. May I ask you, when one person struggles with his value, what will he do? Well, there are many ways to respond, right? They try hard to accomplish something. They try to compensate. They try to do a lot of things to win people's respect, right? To own things, to make money, to climb corporate ladders. Many times become very driven to prove something. Second trait of us often is performance-oriented or work-oriented, a slave mindset. That's another trait. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, is very famous about the parable, right? One time Jesus hang out with the sinners and tax collectors. Actually, Jesus always hang out with the sinners and tax collectors. And there's another group of people criticize him. And they say, I thought he's from God, he's a prophet. But he hang out with the wrong crowd. And Jesus gave a threefold parable. And the last four is about the prodigal son. Right? There's an older son and the younger son. Do you guys remember that? Do you guys know that? And now I quote scripture about the older son's response. When the younger son, the prodigal son, left the house, took the money and squandered, and used all the money and came back like a beggar, like a homeless. And the father welcomed him, rushed to him. Remember that? Yes. And the father has a banquet for him. But now let's look at what the older brothers respond. Let's see that. This what kind of mindset is that, okay? Let's read together. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobey your orders. Yet you never give me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Okay. May I ask you, what kind of mindset does this older brother have? Envy. Envy, okay. We mentioned about early, right? Envy, and jealous, all this. But why? Did he live in the father's house all these years?
Yes.
But obviously, he didn't sense the father's love. He said, "I obey you all this. I have done all this. But you even didn't give me one little gift to celebrate." So he struggled with the issue with his identity. Right? Isn't he his son? And then let's look at how his father answered. "My son," the father say, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." What did the father say? The father say, "I'm your father. I'm with you all the time." You know, the problem with the older son is not the father didn't give him the party. The problem with the older son is he never sensed he's the son. Right? He never sensed he can celebrate himself. Is that right? This is your house. You can have a goat. You can have a party to celebrate. Why you view yourself as a slave? He has a work-oriented, performance-oriented. Isn't that a struggle for many of us as a believer? Is that right? We come to the Lord, we think about work only. Amen? I work so hard. Not only for the Lord, also for the life. Why do you work so hard, Rogelio? I know you work very hard. I can tell a lot of people didn't change their clock. They'll come in from the second service, though I hear. They keep on coming. It's wonderful because they didn't realize they changed the time. It's good. Then you have you can attend two services. So Rogelio, why do you work so hard? Yeah, your answer, you give a standard answer. I ask so many people. I say, why do you work so hard? Oh, Pastor Joseph, why do you ask this dumb question? If I don't work, I'd have no food to eat. So why do you need to have food to eat? Because when I have food to eat, I can work even harder. Do you see that? That's the loop. You work hard to have food. So you have more food, you can work even harder, right, JJ, right? Why do you work so hard, JJ? Why you work so hard, I even didn't sleep. When I preach, you're sleeping. Meditating. You know, he's smart. He knows how to answer. The second trait of an orphan is performance-oriented. He started to judge himself by his performance and judge other people. Thirdly, I have a very short time. We have Holy Communion. And the second service, people already arrived, you know. The third trait of an orphan is a fear. It's a fear. Fear of no protection, fear of no provision. It's understandable, right? If you think you're an orphan, nobody protect you. No daddy, no mommy, no provision. So it's a survival mentality, right? So sometimes it shows this very cheap. Always go to the discount store, have the coupon. I do not say that's wrong, okay? But sometimes we need to examine our heart because we are fearful. We are so worried that we don't have food, we don't have this. It's very legitimate fear sometimes, right? It's very real. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, 31 and 32, Jesus told the disciple on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Pagans here refer to those who don't know God as their heavenly Father. Refer here, the pagans. But many times we as believers, as a children of God, we live like the pagans. We do worry. Do we? Do you worry about economy? Good. Nobody really don't worry at all. But we need to let our worry under control. Amen? We should not be driven by fear. You know, two most powerful motivational force. One is fear. Do you know a lot of people work so hard because of the fear? Yeah. A lot of people work so hard, they are so fearful because they don't work hard, they will be starving, lost their job. But that kind of driving force wear you out. Amen? Another force is love. You have a heavenly Father who is your Father, will care for you, will provide all your needs. Easy to say that. The next step is the obedience and faith. Amen? I want to share something about I went to Taiwan. It was a wonderful trip. I really experienced my Heavenly Father's provision. You know, I went back because we celebrate the mother church of this Lin Liang Church, Taipei Lin Liang Church, celebrate its 60th anniversary. So it's a big event. I went there. Originally, I only can stay in hotel. I had to spend money. And then somehow in God's sovereignty, just a few days, maybe 1 week or 2 weeks before I left for Taiwan, I was being arranged in one of church members' parents' house, which is just literally cross street from the conference site. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. It's not just saving money, you know. I struggle with the orphan mentality, you know, as an immigrant. Always go to, before it was Kmart when I can, not Walmart those days, Kmart's discount store. But the Lord was gracious with me. I stay in the place, probably the best than anyone else, walk across the street from the conference site, and the host take care of me very much. He almost forced on me every dinner he wanted to treat me. Thank you, Charlie. I gained weight long before that. Yeah. But I just realized that God take care. Also, I want to encourage you, all of you. We tried to purchase the building, this building. You know, they asked for $1.9 million. A lot of people said, wow, that's a big money. Yes, it is. But I encourage all of you to pray about, think a number. I encourage all of you to bring your money, your pledge on Thanksgiving Sunday, November 23rd. I encourage you. I tell you, when I went to Taiwan, I was so touched by our CCQ friends, the ex-member who used to attend our church, now live in Taiwan. He gave me, after he saw me, he said, here's my offering for the building fund. 30,000 Taiwanese money. This guy is disabled. He lived by the, you know, take care of the government. And he say, Pastor Joseph, when I heard the church need a building, a building fund, I took out the money right away. I don't check how much I have. I took out this and want to give to the Lord. I said, may the Lord bless you. This man knows he has a Father in heaven, even though he's disabled right now, in the recovery. He taking care of me. I was so touched. I was inside the airport because I went there. I don't have my cell phone, you know. I need to buy the phone card there. I cannot reach him. And there's a police officer there. He's so nice, you know. The service in Taiwan is excellent, at least in Taipei area. He says, sir, can I help you? I say, can I borrow your cell phone? He said, I cannot. But you can tell me the number. So he helped me to locate my friend. He is disabled, and he came in to pick me up. I really sense the love from the Lord through God's people. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't need to live as an orphan, to fear about what to eat, what to drink, what to clothe, because your Heavenly Father knows all this. And Jesus says, seek first his rulership and his standard, his kingdom, and his righteousness in your life, and all the things will be added unto you, even you don't need to ask. Is that encouraging? And the last trait about an orphan is driven by shame and guilt. A person with an orphan spirituality is driven by shame and guilt. And the typical example is in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. We can read together. Then the man and his wife heard the song of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the tree of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. May I ask you questions? I always like to ask, do you think God didn't know where they are? Richard, what's your opinion? He knew, right? But why did he ask? You don't have to answer. That's all right.
When he didn't want to say he was hiding what he had, like we all do sometimes as humans.
Yes.
We make mistakes and we have our problems. And
so we hide.
We don't lean on him. And we need to lean on him more. And
so we hide. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So, Adam and Eve, you know, in the past, so can I ask you, based upon your understanding of the Bible, what happened to them? Why they heard God's voice, they're fearful, and they hide. Why? What's wrong with them?
Well, they
Okay.
And they ate from the tree of knowledge.
Okay.
And they shouldn't have eaten from the tree of
knowledge. By the way, we didn't rehearse this before, okay? Richard just responds spontaneously.
I'm
okay.
Sorry, I shouldn't get ahead.
No. That's all right. You know, the Lord already told them, right? You can eat all the fruits except that one. And they ate. And they knew it. And they found out they were naked. May I ask you, were they naked before?
Yes.
But they were okay.
They didn't see. Their eyes were veiled.
Yeah.
But you can't see, you can't fight.
But after that, Adam said, I saw I'm naked. I'm fearful. So I hid. You see? Before, God created Adam and Eve, right? So God was their creator, also their father. They have an intimacy, right? After the fall, after they sin, the relationship has been broken. Before, when Adam heard God's voice, I believe, this is part of my interpretation, I think God and Adam and Eve, they walk every day. They talk and walk, just like a family member. Amen? But now they can't. They try to hide because they sin. And sin separates us from one another. Sin separates us from God. When there's a sin in family, there's a rivalry. There's a distrust, suspicion. Amen? It separates us. Also, this is a trait as an orphan, because Adam and Eve no more are the children of God because of the sin. They feel shameful and guilt. They try to hide. One major trait as an orphan spiritually is you're always driven by shame and guilt. You never feel you're good enough to please God. What's the picture? What's your picture of God? Many people told me he feels that God is a very demanding, very hard to be pleased. That's not the image of God in the Bible, right? There's a something within you, as an orphan mentality. How to be transformed? I need to go on more forward faster. First of all, we need to know and believe in this truth. We are the children of God. We need to know this. We also need to believe in this. That's the first. How about let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Let's read together, okay? Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heir of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. I think this scripture is the one I will give to you today. You can meditate, think about. You are the children of God. There are 3 points here. Number one, we are the children of God, not orphans. You read here, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We were born again by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us, born again by the Holy Spirit. Through that conversion, we become children of God. Actually, we adopt as children of God. God only had one son, it's Jesus Christ. Through his redemptive work, we become sons and daughters. Amen? Adopt to that. That's very important. You need to believe this. You're not just, I know I'm a child of God, but I don't believe it. How do I know we believe or not? It's by our life, right? By the way we live. We still worry. We still have low self-esteem about self. We still struggle. Always the work-oriented, not relational. That shows we still an orphan. Secondly, here in the scripture I share with you just now is talk about we adopt. No, the second thing I want to share with you here is that the Holy Spirit within us to testify we are the children of God. How do we know We are children of God. Who is the witness? Besides your action, besides the word of God, it's the Holy Spirit within you. That's how you pray. You can call Abba, Father. I tell you, this is very profound. I just start to preach more about the teaching. We need to experience this. And thirdly, in the scripture, it says we are co-heirs with Christ. In other words, we can inherit a lot of spiritual blessings. A lot of spiritual blessings is recorded in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. For instance, it says his election to be holy and blameless, for adoption, for sonship, be redeemed and sin being forgiven, to know the mystery of God's word, etc., etc. There's a lot of things there. It's a spiritual blessing because you become the child of God. You have a spiritual blessing through Christ, in Christ. Okay, so first of all, how can we be transformed from an orphan mentality, orphan spiritually, to the son? We need to know and believe in the truth about our identity. Secondly, we need the ongoing inner healing and deliverance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, I always use the scripture to in the baptismal service. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Most often we refer to our conversion, but actually this scripture is referred to our transformation. Do you know that? You cannot just hear the message and remain the same. You need to be transformed. How can we be transformed? Our hurts need to be healed. We are in the bondage, need to be delivered. Our eyes need to be opened. Amen? That's why right now the English group, we have the healing class. You have a privilege to watch the tape, but that's not enough. You just get some knowledge only. That's why I invite Robert and Marsha Scott to be with us to process through that. You and I need to continue ongoing being healed and delivered so we can really experience the Father's love. Amen? Here we have the Holy Communion. This reminds us the Father's love. Remind us we are children of God, right? Through Christ's redemption, we can become children of God. Can someone ask the youth and children to come forward to take the bread and cup, the Holy Communion? That's all right. Richard, welcome back. Welcome home.